Just like to say that it's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord, to sing praises unto Him and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. It's good to see each and every one of you here today. I just want to say good morning to those that I haven't had a chance to speak with yet. I've invited friends of mine here this morning, so it's good to see that they made it here this morning. We want you to know that you are our honored guests. We thank you that you took time out to come out with us this morning to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I also like to say that when it comes to the communion service, we want you to know that you're not obligated at all to participate in the communion service. But if you so desire, then you will not be refused. But we want you to know that you're not obligated. We're just happy that you're here this morning. The lesson that I've chosen to speak from is the old book of Psalms, chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And I know this is a passage. These passages of scriptures are always read at funerals, and people read them for comfort. But I'd like for us to look at these passages of scripture this morning in a different light. In the personal relationship that David had with God. And I read these passages of scripture here in the book of Psalms, chapter 23. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 for the scripture reading. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We'll let these passages of scripture this morning serve as our scripture reading. But we always count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to always go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us humble ourselves once again while the one has been petitioned to lead us in prayer. The name shepherd is a widely used metaphor for king in the ancient Near East, and also in Israel, the name shepherd. I want to read a passage of scriptures in the book of Psalms, chapter 78, and verse 70 and 72. And this is coming from the NIV version of it. And the King James Version has the same meaning, but just a different way of reading. I'm reading from the King James NIV. Notice what the passage of scripture teach in the book of Psalms, chapter 78, and verse 70 and 72. It says that he chose David, which is God, chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending, and the King James Version says following, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. Speaking of God's people. And so here this morning we hear David, the king. acknowledging that the Lord is his shepherd king. As we talk about the personal relationship with David and God, I just want to say to you this morning that if you do not have a personal relationship with God, this lesson is really not going to mean anything to you. But if you have a personal relationship with God, you will identify with David when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." You will identify with them. Brothers and sisters and friends, David is metaphorically speaking of a shepherd and a sheep. That's how he's speaking this morning. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I want us to notice this morning, and this first verse of Psalm chapter 23, notice what David said. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He didn't say the Lord was your shepherd. He said, "He's my shepherd." He's taking that verse personal, his personal relationship that he has with God. And it's something that you and I, we don't need to get all excited and jump and shout about those things that are tangible, those things that we can see and touch. But the personal relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this is what we need to be excited about. So David metaphorically is speaking about this relationship. And this verse of Psalms, he tells us that the Lord is my shepherd. He says that I shall not want. And that word want in the Hebrew language also is lack. It could be that the Lord is my shepherd. It could read this way: I shall not lack. Another word is fail. It could read is that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fail. You know, David teaches us in the book of Psalms, I believe chapter 66 and verse 16. Notice what he says in the old passage of the scriptures. He said, "Come in here, all ye that fear God." And that word fear, in the context of that scripture, is trust. And he said, "I will declare what the Lord has done for my soul. Come in here, all ye that fear God." And that word fear is trust. He said, "I will declare what the Lord has done for my soul." You see, when God saves us, we have a testimony. Every last one of us have a testimony on how that we have overcome. And David was talking to a group of worshipers when he spoke about, "Come in here, what the Lord has done for my soul." And so as we study this lesson, I just want us to look at these passages of scriptures. This first passage of scripture deals with the personal relationship that David has with his God. The last five of these passages of scriptures deal with what God has done and what God was doing for him. I want us to look at verse 2. He said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Remember now, this is Psalm chapter 23 and verse 2. Remember, David is talking about the life of a shepherd and a sheep. He says that he leadeth me beside still waters. You see, we got to know something about a sheep. A sheep is a very fidgety type animal. And they get very nervous around moving waters. And so the shepherd leadeth them beside still water. Because the sheep knows that with their fur, when it get wet, when they're in moving water, they will drown. So that shepherd looketh after the sheep and leadeth them beside still water. He maketh them to lie down in green pastures. And that sheep is dependent upon that shepherd for their protection and their care. And for a sheep to lie down in green pastures, they know that they're in pretty good hands with that shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in still waters. Notice what it says at verse three. He said, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now David is talking about what God is doing for him. And we can see what God doeth for us. The Bible says he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. I remember when I wasn't going in God's way. And I wonder sometimes, had not it been for God leading me in the pathway of righteousness, where I would be today. I know I wouldn't be here this morning, worshiping God in spirit and truth. The Bible says he does it for his name's sake. It's when we walk in the pathway of righteousness, as a selection that we just sang this morning, where people can see Christ in us, that glorifies God's name. When people can see the Christ in you for his name's sake. Notice something else. David says in verse 4, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, David is not talking about the judgment. He's talking about the life that he was living then. As he walked through the valley of shadow of death, David knew that one day, that death was going to come to him. David knew that. It's just like we this morning. I want us to understand this morning. Not one of us will get out of here alive. Now settle down. I don't mean out of this building. I mean out of this world. One day we will close our eyes for the last time in death. And anyone that has a lick of sense, fear death. Because you don't know what's going to happen to you when you close your eyes for the last time in death. You know what I found? There's two classes of people that don't fear death. One is the fool. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool doesn't know what the word of God has to say. So he doesn't fear death. And the other one that doesn't fear death is the child of God that have made their calling sure. Don't fear death. If you came to me and said, Brother James, is there a scripture in the Bible that would give me the assurance that I will be with God even in death because I have done good all of my life? I've given up all of my goods and bestowed them on the poor. I help mankind. Is there a scripture in the Bible that would assure me that God would be with me even in death? I'll tell you, no, that's not a scripture. They would assure you that God would be with you in death. But if you came to me and said, Brother James, I have obeyed the plan that God set forth for me to be saved, and I've lived the life of a Christian life, all of my life, is there a scripture in the Bible that would assure me that God will be with me even in death? I'll tell you, to sit down for a moment, because it's going to take some time, because I will cover you up in scriptures, that even in death, you've obeyed God and served him all of your life, God is with you even in death to guide you to the other side. David says that the shadow of death was over him. That shadow is over each and every one of us as we journey through this life. Notice what the Bible says in verse 4. He says, thou art with me. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, when it comes to a shepherd and the sheep, these are two very important instruments that's needed in guiding sheep. You need that rod. And you notice a shepherd has this rod, and it has a hook on the end of that rod. That hook is for when the sheep get out of line, he's able to pull that sheep back in line with that staff. With the rod, when the sheep get to acting up, he can correct the sheep with that rod. He said, thy staff and thy rod, he said, they comfort me. He said, thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. God talks about preparing a table in the presence of our enemies. Even in all the opposition that we face in this life, you know, God is still good. He still provides for us. And when we look at our lives this morning, I'm quite sure we all can testify that the Lord has been awfully good to each and every one of us. He says he prepares a table before us in the presence of his enemies. I look at this table this morning that's being prepared before us, the Lord's table. God has prepared a table before us this morning. This is the old custom of the first century people. When they invite you in for supper, and they prepared a table before you, that was a sign that you were their friend. Come and sup with them. So this morning, we can look at it like this. This table that God has prepared for us this morning, God consider us as his friend. That we come and we sup with him. The anointing of oil was a custom of the old. When you go to someone's house, they will anoint your head with oil. That was a custom of the first century people. Notice what the Bible says in verse 5. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, this is a choice that we make. Another word for follow is chase. Would we rather that the devil chases us for the rest of our life, or the goodness of God follow us the rest of our lives? That's a choice that we make. We all are creatures of choice, and we make that choice. The Bible says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David wrote these passages of Psalms while he was still living. He wasn't dead when he wrote these. This is David writing his personal relationship, metaphorically speaking, of the shepherd and the sheep. I want us to notice another passage of scriptures. The Bible teaches us, and I'll read this. Let's go to Psalms chapter 95 and we'll go to verse 1 through 9. Psalm 95. And read a few passages of scripture there. Let us notice something here. The Bible says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. He said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs.
You know what the Bible tells us when it comes to the worship service? He said, just sing. You know, the world looked down on the Church of Christ because we don't use musical instruments. We tell people sometimes how we worship. Oh, you don't use instruments? They said David used a harp. They don't know the Bible. Because only the priest, and David was a priest also, could use the instruments and the worship service of the Lord. The priests are the only one could use instruments. Now, today, in Christ, the New Testament Christians, the Bible says that men and women both are priests. So that means that if we were to use a musical instrument, every last one of us, and it will have to have an instrument. Because the women and the men also are priests. The Bible says, let us sing. And that's what we do. We sing. As you notice this morning, that it's a testament that we don't need musical instruments as we sing this morning to the Lord. All those beautiful voices singing to the Lord. Because that's who we're singing to. We're singing to God. Let me look at another patch of scripture while we're some. Let us look at Psalm 100. The book of Psalm 100. David says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know ye that the Lord, he is good. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Remember, it is God that has made all of us. And God was at his best when he made you and I. God didn't make no junk when he made us. Out of all the billion of people in this world, there's no one like you. You have a different fingerprint than all the billions of people in this world. You're special. God was at his best when he made us. I want us to notice what Jesus had to say concerning the Good Shepherd. We find this in the book of St. John, chapter 10. We read this few passages of scripture and we come to the conclusion of the lesson. The book of St. John, chapter 10. I want us to notice what Jesus had to say in verse 1 of this chapter. Notice what he says. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but clambered up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Brothers, sisters, and friends, there won't be any thief and robbers in heaven. Jesus says that if we don't come by him and try to be saved some other way, we are considered as a thief and a robber. He said he's the sheepfold. He's where the sheep come in for comfort and protection. And he tells us that he is that door that they enter it in. Let us read on. He says, but he that enter in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus speaking of himself. He says to him, the porter opened it. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them in. The Bible tells us that, and leadeth them out. He says in verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Brothers, sisters, and friends, Everybody out here are not God's sheep. Now, God made every human being, but they're not all God's sheep, because the Bible says that all these sheep out here do not belong to God. He said the one that heareth his voice, they know him and he know them. They obey him and they follow him. Those are his sheep. He knew him by name. Notice what it says here. I'm dropping down to verse 10. He says that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Satan comes to steal and to kill, to rob us of our salvation. That's what Satan's job is. The contrast of the good shepherd. He comes that he give life. Not only that he give it, but we might have it more abundantly. Notice what it says here. He says that, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Talking about those that tending to the sheep just for money. They're hired just to see after the sheep. They don't care anything about the sheep and the sheep security and their soul. It's just for the money. So when the wolf comes, they scatter, they leave the sheep. But the good shepherd does something differently. Notice what the Bible says. In verse 14, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And Jesus says, and other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Jesus says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to again. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We think that sometime when Jesus was going through all of that trouble and being crucified, that God didn't know, that it caught God by surprise. This was part of God's plan of salvation for you and I, that his son would lay down his life for each and every one of us. He said, no man taketh my life. He said, I laid it down. This is part of God's plan of salvation, and this is the lesson this morning, as we just spoke about the life of a shepherd and a sheep. And the Bible tells us that in order for us to be a part of that fold that Jesus Christ spoke of, we must first hear his word. This is the first of all the commandments. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the first of all the commandments. After hearing the commandments, we must believe it. The Bible tells us in the book of St. John, chapter 8, in verse 24, Jesus said, I'll tell you nay. He said, except ye believe that I am he said, you will die in your sins. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. All men must believe that. And believing that, Jesus says that if we die in our sins, in St. John 8 and verse 21, he said, where I am, ye cannot come. If we die in our sins.
After believing it, the Bible tells us we must repent. Luke 13:3. So I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And Luke repeats it again. He repeats it again in verse 5. He said, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And I don't think any one of us in here want to perish when we really think about it. Do you know what it means to perish? That means that we have gone to an everlasting place without God, to perish from God's protection. And I tell you something else this morning. In hell, everyone that goes there will face the worm. There's a worm there for all those that go to hell. Now, you all looking at me this morning like you don't believe me. Come with me for a moment to the book of Mark. Read the book of Mark. I believe it's chapter 9. And we'll look at verse 43 and 44. In these passages of scripture, there's a worm that assigned, this is assigned to everyone that goes to hell. If you've had a worm to get on you, or any insect, and it gives you the heebie-jeebies until you get it off, this worm is everlasting. Notice what the Bible says. In Mark, the book of Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, he says, and if thou hand offend thee, he said, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Notice what it says in verse 44. Where their worm died not, and the fire is not quenched. That worm is in hell for everyone that goes there. And that's what Luke is talking about. He said, if we don't turn, we will perish. We go to hell. After we repent, we must make the good confession. The good confession is that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When Jesus made that confession, they crucified him. When we make it, we live. In the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God hath raised him from the dead, so thou shalt be saved. So with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We must make the good confession. But you're still not saved. Now what are you talking about? You're not saved. You're being converted. But we're not saved until we are baptized. And baptism is where we have our sins washed away. And the only way that we can come in contact with the blood of Christ is in the watery grave of baptism. Baptism is where we get our sin washed away. And don't let anyone tell you that you're saved before that you are baptized, because you have to have your sins washed away. The Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. He said, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on him. And this is where we put on Christ, is in the watery grave of baptism. Then once we become a Christian, we stumble, we fall, and make mistakes. The Bible tells us that we are to repent of those sins, make the confession, and ask for the prayers that we have sinned a sin that have brought shame upon the church, that we might be restored into the fellowship. If anyone is here this morning and we are subject to the gospel in any manner, while we sing the selection of number 235, you may come forward.